Welcome back. Doctrinal issues, the prehistoric world. I trust this will bless you. As I'm fond of doing, sir, whenever you preach any sermon like this, I always want to know, what is the inspiration behind such a topic?
Yes. God is known by his characteristics.
Amen.
When Apostle Paul said Jesus Christ is the same, in Hebrews 13 verse 8.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ is the same
yesterday, and forever.
Today and forever. And the book of Malachi, God said, I am
the Lord.
The Lord.
I change it not.
I change it not. When God says that, don't just look at those scriptures anyhow. You know, I was considering something here. I was considering the fact that there's carbon dating, where you will see, you know, there are scriptures you will look at and look at science confirming some things. I get to know that the history of Satan, you know, Satan was tested. And before Satan, there seems to be some other creatures that God created. It looks like this earth, it's like a testing ground for God's creature. And so man is also facing her own tests. And when you talk of tests, you either pass or you fail.
That's right.
And that will determine your eternal destination. So I decided to look at it, take a good study of it. And it's very interesting to see how beautiful the setting is. This knowledge humbles you when you see what part, you know, your pathway, positive or negative, you know, and to see what scriptures you are fulfilling. You know, when God gives you that grace to see this, to catch this revelation, it humbles you. That is why I felt the bride of Christ need to know this and prepare to face that judgment, because we are undergoing a test. Man is undergoing a test.
Wow. Thank you so much, sir. But how does it feel? Because the religionists, you know, they've made it seem as if the earth, God, mankind is all about 6,000 years old. And here you are, you're going beyond what they're saying.
You know, incidentally, I just started this series last Sunday. And just after that, I discovered that a preacher, Abel Damina, incidentally also took it maybe some months ago. And as I listened to him on the YouTube, I saw the number of viewers that were listening, you know, to him. And I quickly, you know, I felt it. He's gone. He's turned the whole thing upside down. His understanding of this same thing that I preached on Sunday. And I think it's timely.
Okay.
I think it's timely. Maybe if we can allow our viewers to hear for themselves what Abel Damina is it pastor?
Doctor Abel,
okay. Is it Doctor of Divinity or academic doctor?
Maybe doctor.
Or medical doctor. I don't know. You know, so many titles these days.
Yes, sir.
Okay, whatever it is, he's doctor. Dr. Abel Damina, a pastor, what is his ministry? Has this to say, and it's in line with, it's the same topic sort of I am taking. So let's listen to him.
The idea many of us have where the plan of God is concerned is this: we all know that Jesus is the Lamb of God, so our imagination is that one day in heaven, and the story I'm about to tell, that many of us can identify with that. One day in heaven, God and his angels, we are sitting and having a nice time. God was sitting, all angels were together, and as they were having a nice time, one angel just stood up and said, I want to overthrow God. I will be like God. I will take over government. And he went on a campaign adventure. Okay? And in that campaign, he succeeded in winning votes from many angels. And then after he has set up the conspiracy well, okay, he now engaged God in a fight. And the fight was so fierce that he almost defeated God. But somehow God managed. God managed to succeed. And the moment God succeeded in stopping the coup, God threw him down. So as he fell down, he destroyed the earth. And in destroying the earth, he made Adam to sin. Okay? Are you here? That's the way we think. Okay? And the moment Adam sinned, he took over. Then God said, what shall I do to contain this rebel? Then God said, okay, I know what I will do. My son will die and overthrow him to recover power. That's what all of us were told. I was taught that both in Sunday school, in CRK, you know CRK? Christian Religious Knowledge, BK, Bible Knowledge. I did both CRK and BK. Such a thing never happened. That's the first thing. Such a thing never happened. So the first thing I want you to do is wipe it up so we can establish what really happened. All scripture is given by and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching or explanation. So let's get the scriptures to explain to us what actually happened. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, there was nothing before Genesis 1:1. So there was no such thing as God was sitting down in heaven with angels and they misbehaved. No such thing ever happened. There was nothing before Genesis 1:1. Because Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2 says, and the earth was tohu bohu. That's a Hebrew word. Tohu bohu means the earth was nothing, nothing. Tohu, nothing. Bohu, nothing. So the earth, there was nothing before Genesis 1. It was tohu bohu. Nothing, nothing. So to say that there was a world before the world of Adam is to question the authority of scripture. Because scripture tells us, which is the basis for our doctrine, that nothing existed. It was tohu bohu. So that will mean that the first time earth was created was Genesis 1:1. Then that will also mean that God had been before Genesis 1:1. That will also mean that there was no Satan before Genesis 1:1. That will also mean that there were no angels before Genesis 1:1. That will also mean that there were no humans before Genesis 1:1. And that will also mean that there were no dinosaurs before Genesis 1:1. Because Genesis 1:1, God was creating. Then Genesis 1:2 says, the earth God created was tohu bohu, nothing, nothing. So if nothing existed before Genesis 1, it means only God was there. So the first time God ventured into creation was Genesis 1. Are we in the house? Okay. So in Moses' vision, the earth was without form, void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, was God showing Moses the plan of salvation. The first thing God showed to Moses was the plan of salvation before anything was created. Because salvation is not an afterthought. Salvation is the plan of God. That is the original intent. That is the original plan of God for man. That's why all scriptures are given by inspiration and they are profitable for all of that. That's why Paul told Timothy, the scriptures are able to make thee wise unto what? salvation through faith, which is where? In Christ Jesus. So salvation was not an emergency fix for the fall of man. Salvation was the original intent. Salvation was the original plan of God for all of mankind. Now, but please follow. That means, therefore, that creation is a function of time. Nothing was done before time. Everything took place in time. Satan in time, angels in time, man in time, all of the planets in time, but God out of time. And watch this. God has always been out of time, is still out of time, and will continue to be out of time. He never was in time. No, he only created time and everything that comes with time, while he himself is independent of time. Are we here? Okay. Now, since God created everything in time, there was a guy called Lucifer among the angels. Lucifer was an angel among the angels that were created by God in time. And like we all know, God created man before creating the angels. And he created the angels to serve man. All angels. No angel was created to serve God. All angels were created to serve man. God does not need angelic help. God is self-contained. He is God all by himself. Before creating anything, he has been, not requiring anybody's assistance. If he never required anybody's assistance, he does not require anybody's assistance. He will never require anybody's assistance, because he is God all by himself and has never subjected himself to time. He does not need help from anything that originates in time. Time cannot help timeless. Only timeless can help time. Are you following? Yes. Honey, that's why God, humbling some of those prophets, he said to them, if I need a house, I will not come to you. If I need a house, which house do you have? If I'm hungry, the food I eat, you don't have it, I won't come to you. I'm God. I'm not man. I'm the self-existing one. I'm the only one that nobody created. Nobody created. And I'm the only one that nobody knows my day of birth, if I was ever born. Nobody can trace my history. I am the self-existing one. I can tell where all of you came from and how all of you came out, but none of you can tell how I came. Why? I'm the self-existing one. Are we teaching here? Okay. Now, follow carefully, because we're going somewhere. So this guy Lucifer was an angel created among all the angelic beings. And like we know, the activity of angels according to the scriptures, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 7, and of the angels he said, who maketh his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. He's talking about angels here. Verse 14, are they not all, how many? Now this all, does it include cherubims, seraphims, all angelic bodies? How many of them? What is the mission of all of them? Are they not all what? Ministering spirits. What is their assignment? Sent forth to do what? To minister for who? For them who shall be heirs of salvation. So all angels were created to serve man. That will mean that Lucifer was created to serve Adam in Eden. He never was in heaven occupying a place of choir master. Never. He never was a choir master. We don't have that in the doctrine of scripture. He was one of the angels that was assigned to do what? To serve man. Is that clear? Okay. Now, in the book of Isaiah and Ezekiel, we have some insight into the operation of this light being called Lucifer. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. He says, "How thou art falling down from heaven, O Lucifer." When he was talking about falling down from heaven, he wasn't talking about heaven. He was talking about the atmosphere, because angels flow in the atmosphere, not in heaven, in the atmosphere. This atmospheric is called atmospheric heavens. This atmosphere we see, we call it heaven, but this is not heaven. Paul said, "I was caught to the third heaven," meaning that there are three heavens. There is this atmospheric heaven, there is the second heaven, and there is the third heaven. And these heavens are not like lined up where you travel from one to another. How they operate, you can't understand. Just leave it. Are we together here? Okay. So this guy, Lucifer, was in the atmosphere, in the sky, the atmospheric heavens. And the Bible says he fell down. Haven't you read where Jesus said, "I beheld Satan fall down like he is not lightning. He fell down from heaven as like it was a figure." What he was saying is, just like lightning falls, Satan fell suddenly. From where? From the atmosphere. Teaching good? So when you hear people say demons are flying over their house, is scriptural illiteracy. Satan does not operate in the air. Because you read, the Bible calls the devil the prince of the power of the air. So some of you think Satan is flying in the sky, and anytime he stays over your house, you feel heavy. And in the course of flying, every time he perches on your building, malaria, fever, all kinds of attack. Satan is sitting over the roof, so you have to open fire. You have to open fire. It's illiteracy, and the devil knows you're ignorant. Because if you knew better, you wouldn't think like that. The word air there is the word pneuma. Pneuma means spirit. The prince of the power of spirit. The prince of the power of the pneuma. The prince of the power of the spirit. Then he now tells you his location. Hey, Kabataka. The prince of the power of the pneuma. The spirit. Then he now tells you his location. The spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. So he doesn't fly in the sky. He lives inside people who don't have Christ. Meaning that he carries out his activity through human beings. He's not perching on your roof. He may be inside the person sleeping by your bed. I don't know if I'm communicating at all. Okay. The prince of the power of the air, the pneuma, the spirit. And then he now explains to us his modus operandi. He is the spirit of disobedience, and his operational system is in the children. The children of disobedience. Disobedience to what? Disobedience to the gospel. So all those that disobey the gospel by not believing the gospel. When a man does not believe the message, he has disobeyed the gospel. When he disobeys the gospel, what does he become? He becomes an operational center for Satan. Are we here? Okay, follow me. This Lucifer was a minister to Adam. He ministered to Adam. What was his job? To what? To do what? To who? To Adam. Because all spirits are to minister to heirs of salvation. Now, something happened between Lucifer and Adam. God didn't create Satan. God created Lucifer. Lucifer doesn't mean Satan, and Satan doesn't mean Lucifer. Whatever God created was perfect. Whatever God created was good. Whatever God created was correct. So Lucifer was correct. Lucifer was good because he was created by God. But there was an assignment for which he was created, to serve man. Adam was created by God as a figure of he that is to come. Adam was a figure of Christ. He was not Christ, but he was just a figure. The job of Adam was to have dominion over, to be in charge. While the job of Lucifer was to run errands for Adam. Hello. Now let me give a very physical illustration just to help your minds. If you are supposed to be the director of this facility and you are giving some boys to help you run the facility, and then your boys are supposed to go by your instructions, and then all of a sudden the boy is given to you and attached to you to help you run the facility, walks up to you and say, "Excuse me, sir, take that chair." So I say, "Take that chair." Okay? And then he takes the chair. What has happened? Positions have changed. Okay? The errand boy has become the boss. And the boss. So from that moment, if you're watching, who is sir among the two? The errand boy. Who is boy among the two? The boss. So from that day, what will the boss be called? Boy. And what will the errand boy be called? Boss. Okay, there's a switch of roles and there's a change of name. Lucifer was supposed to receive instructions like every other angel from Adam. But for the first time, Lucifer gave Adam instructions. Did God say you should not, according to Moses' vision, did God say you should not eat of this tree? And Eve didn't know what to answer him. Okay. He said, God is wise. He knows that the day you eat of it, you shall be like him. But what was the instruction? Thou shalt not eat of it. So she took it in obedience to the instruction of Lucifer. She and Adam ate. There was a swap of roles. Satan automatically became the commander. Adam and Eve became the ministers. That swap of role turned Lucifer to Satan. And it was at that swap of role that man died. So two things have happened. Man has died. Lucifer has become Satan. All as a result of a transaction between man and Lucifer. Are you in the house? Now, watch this. You know that God didn't create Satan. God didn't. So the creation of Satan was purely by an interaction between Lucifer and man. Now watch, that's why after Jesus defeated the devil, he still put the devil under man. Because that's where he should be. So the Bible now says what happened to Adam was that Adam transgressed. Adam was in the transgression. What is transgression? Adam did not heed to what was told him.